Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We're talking New Horizons' mission to the Kuiper Belt. Doctor Who has a female doctor now, and we are completely Janine-less.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast for August 23rd, 2017.
Janina's off doing family stuff, cleaning and scrubbing and doing all the things that, and taking care of dogs and stuff. So it's me flying solo. I hope you can take it because I'm not sure I can. Anyway, yeah, this talking about what happened in Prickly City, the first one was, of course, the Sunday describing the New Horizons mission going on to the Kuiper Belt. Here's something funny. I actually misspelled Kuiper. I spelled it K-A-I-P-E-R, and it's K-U-I-P-E-R. So I got a tweet from Alan Stern, who is the principal investigator, who's become a friend. But he tweeted out, "Where is the Kuiper Belt?" as a stupid way I spelled it. And I, of course, responded back saying, "It's next to Pluto, P-L-U-D-O. The New Horizons mission, I'm trying to gin up, and this is the first in a number of series over the next year and a half or so, where I'm going to be talking about the New Horizons mission to MU-69, which is a Kuiper Belt object, and some kind of exciting geeky news coming out. They're doing occultation tests. They've done two, and they're going to have three. And what that means is this object is going to go in front of a star. And they're going to measure the light. It's going to blink for a fraction of a second. And this last occultation, the rumors coming out of the results this time, I know this is so dorky, but it's really kind of very exciting, is that it could actually be two objects, not just one. So this object that's over a billion miles further out than Pluto, we're going to see this on New Year's Day, 2019. And I don't know. I'm jazzed because this is a part of our solar system we've never seen. I mean, look how cool it was to see what we discovered on Pluto. It was just a remarkable thing. The week in Prickly City talked about Doctor Who and how, you know, it's a fictional character, people. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman in this instance. And in fact, the Time Lord will be a female. For the first time in its 50-plus year run, Doctor Who has announced that they are going to have a female actress perform that. It's just one of those things that their offensive meters are up to, you know, from 1 to 10, they're set at 28 right now. So everyone is getting mad about everything, and it's so stupid. It just is. Darsan54 writes, "It's all part of the grieving process for Whovians. Gnash and wail at the loss of a great talent, angry and bitter at the new choice, snipe and gripe at the first few episodes, grow in respect as the show continues, declare that the greatest doctor when they want to leave after a number of years, rinse and repeat." And that is exactly what happens with Janine and I. We've been watching the series since the reboot, and I think that was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And well, maybe earlier. Anyway, doesn't matter. So we've been watching it since then, and it's exactly what happens. We get the old doctor, we grow. When the new doctor starts, they suck, they stink, we can't stand watching them. And then over time, oh, they're pretty good. And then by the time they leave, we're thinking they're the greatest doctor that ever played the role and the new person. So yeah, Darsan54, Darsan. Brenda says, "Excellent. I could not have said it better myself. Personally, I'm always excited about the new doctor. What kind of personality are they going to have? Who or what is the new big bad? How is the new doctor going to get along with the leftover companions and recurring characters? I can't wait to see what they do with Jodie Whittaker, who of course is the new doctor." I'm stoked. It's going to be exciting. All the complaints have been, "Oh, it's all PC." Yes and no. I mean, you know, I get especially upset when I read some of the tweets that it's Doctor Who, not Nurse Who. Well, dude, let me mansplain something to you. It has been a century or more since women have been allowed to be doctors. So, you know, just shut up if that's your complaint about it. Ignatz wrote, "This is the new reason for conservative snowflakes. They're also upset that the girl playing the Little Mermaid is Asian. Why does anyone care about stuff like that?" Ignatz, I mean, I agree with you. I don't care. But the sensitivity of media is not limited only to conservatives, by the way. It's liberals. Believe me when I tell you this. liberals are just as responsible and just as off their nut as conservatives. Trust me on this. Charlie Tuba says, I saw a woman dermatologist last Monday and she saw me totally naked. Oh, that doctor with a capital. Well, the master is already a woman, so why not the doctor? Which is true. If you follow the series, if you don't, then you can go and talk amongst yourselves. But yeah, the master was came back as a woman, so that became a thing. Anyway, so it's just stupid. I also talked about Hillary's book. And Hillary's book, she's coming out, and apparently the news today or recently came out that she's also said it's one of those hit yourself in the head at 2 a.m. and say what I should have said was, because now Hillary Clinton is saying she should have get away from me, you creep, during the debates. Sure, why not? I'm sure he's been called much worse, and he probably doesn't, you know, faze him at all. But I made fun of the book. It's called, you know, What Happened. And what happened was the Democratic Party nominated a bad candidate that many, especially young voters, could not get behind. Progressives did not support. And the 5 million fewer people voted during that election of 2016 than the election 4 years before. So that's what happened. But anyway, so I write about it. And Honey Bunny, of course, is the conduit, the kind of mirror character for Hillary. And William Bednar wrote, yeah, Hillary lost because nobody liked her. Right. That's why she won the popular vote, because no one liked her. And that's true. She won by 3 million votes, 3 million plus votes. And so, yeah, there's a legitimate thing there. But she didn't win what she needed to win, which was Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio. Timothy Madigan says she was loved in a few highly populated areas, cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City. Outside of that, she was tolerated, but not by enough, partially because she ignored them if she wasn't lecturing them about not being like the cities who love her. And I think, Timothy, that's excellent. That's a very incisive comment, and I think you're absolutely right. And that's why, listen, guys, you know for a fact, I am no Trump lover. Never will be, never have been. And, you know, if current conditions continue, I'm very, very close to just saying, let's impeach the guy now and avoid the rush. But by turns, I don't care for Hillary either. I think she was a deeply flawed candidate and a bad candidate for the Democrats to nominate that year. That being said, Christopher goes on to say, oh, this is, oh, God, I hate the Clintons so much week. Guess next week we'll be back to why are people so mean and polarized today? Christopher, read the damn strip, okay? That kind of comment infuriates me. A, it's a comic strip. I can say one thing at a time, one day at a time. So, yeah, she came out with a book. I wanted to comment on it. Do you follow the strip the next week and see what I say about Donald Trump and the Republicans and where they land and why are we all so mean to each other? For this, we don't listen to each other. We don't hear the total of what that person is saying. And in this instance, that's one of those times, Christopher. Sorry, dude. And finally, Dog Day writes, I have not been able to stand DT for 40 years. My husband doesn't like him either, but takes DT. I'm trying to figure out who DT is. More reason on him seeing him through my husband's eyes. Donald Trump. I'm sorry. And I'm such a moron. Okay, let's try this again. I have not been able to stand Donald Trump for 40 years. My husband doesn't like him either, but takes a more reasoned stand on him. Seeing him through my husband's eyes, I'm willing to believe that this man has lived so long in a world that never held him to consequence that he had to live with, as opposed to his minions cleaning up after him. That he really never learned how to form, much less express, a cogent thought that isn't related to bullying someone. At 71 years of age, he is now reaping a lifetime of consequences. I can't imagine the feelings of facing such a monster. And I can't either. As I record this, I'm a little late this week because I zoned out. So where I'm talking about the speech he gave last night in Arizona, and he is unhinged. So believe me when I tell you that will be a subject in future Prickly Cities. Listen, I really appreciate you listening to this week's edition. I know you miss Janine, and I miss her a lot as well, so she'll be back next time. Until then, if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you certainly can by going to gocomics.com/Prickly City, or go to scottstantis.com, or if you want to just, and leave a comment, by the way. If you leave a comment, hopefully we can get to it during the podcast. And, let's keep the conversation moving along, folks. If you want to contact us directly, you certainly can at prickly city prickly.seed@gmail.com. So thanks again for listening. Thank you, WGN Plus. Thank you, Brian Altimer, our producer, for putting up with me being such a space shot. And thank you all for listening. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.